Hi, welcome to the Build Alaska podcast. I'm your host, Xavier Schley, and I'm with
Chris Jensen.
We're going to talk a little bit about the construction management program at UAA.
Yes.
So first off, I guess, why don't you just talk about what it is and then how you got involved with it?
So in the general concept of things, the CM program is the construction management program at UAA. A lot of universities offer it. And it's specifically designed for kids to go to school and get their degree in construction. And it's not engineering. It's not so they're not engineering. They're not architects. They're construction management. And that really leads you into the project management or the position that I'm in that I hold in my work. And it really puts the emphasis on learning the basis and the backbone of construction. And then you can go out and take that knowledge and see the field experience and tie it all together.
And so what are the basics of it? I mean,
so you learn scheduling, you learn cost estimating, you learn construction law, different policies and procedures, risk analysis. You learn the things that if you were to go the field route, that you almost, it's almost like you run into the wall and they say, oh, that's not how you do it. Here's the door. This is mm-hmm. how you do it. The construction management program shows you, okay, here's the door and here's why we put a door here. And this is why. These are the contributing factors behind it and the history behind it that has gotten us to this point. You also learn the technology in the construction program. We don't do estimates on a yellow tablet anymore. Yeah. We actually have estimating programs or takeoff programs. So you can do your cuts and fills in three dimension. You can do SketchUps to where you can identify problems, because we're handed a set of plans and it's, hey, go build this. And then as we see what's really out there or the unforeseens that nobody can unexpect, you can incorporate those back. And if you don't have that technical background, you're unable to do that.
How did you get involved with them?
So through Colaska, our risk director and our business development manager.
And who are they?
Rob Dunn is our business development and Joel Webb is our risk department, and they belong to the advisory board at UAA, the CM program. Well, with their projects and what they have going on, they were finding less and less time to concentrate to it. So they approached me and asked me if I'd be interested in joining the advisory board. So I joined the advisory board to UAA a few years ago, and in that I got to meet the faculty and other people in the industry that are involved in the advisory board. And then I got to meet some of the students. And that led me into where I'm at now with what I do at the college.
So I guess, can you talk to me a little bit about the way the demographics of people coming into the construction industry is changing, you know, as we bring in a new generation of people?
So the demographics, we've got a really interesting point that we're at right now, is that kids are being given that message that you have to go to college, you have to go to college, and that's great, as we're getting kids into there to learn the backbone, but we also are losing our craft trades.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, for me, my dad was a logger, and he would tell me every day, you're going to college, you are not doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when it becomes like a skilled mason or a carpenter or anything, we are going to run into a shortage of that, because we are getting more and more kids into more of the construction management style instead of the technical college side. So it's great that we're getting kids in and we're teaching them, but we also got to be aware that we can't miss out on the technical side either.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to be said for that. And we're sort of, you know, I interview a lot of union reps here, and they all say the same thing, like, you know, the people with the most knowledge are leaving and we're not replacing them with as much. But I was thinking more about, so I started in construction in the 90s, and it was, you know, almost entirely male and almost entirely white male.
Oh, yeah.
And even myself, when I refer to people in construction, I go, or guys, like, and I should know better, but you know, I still make that mistake. And so, like, how's that demographic changing with the kids coming through
I
now?
I will tell you, with the students that I teach at the school, a couple of the superstars are female, and they are amazing. And that demographic got into is everything had to be done with labor. So you needed strong males. Him. Now we've realized that technology is catching us. Skill sets are changing to where you don't have to be the strong brute to be in construction. Projects are successful with the mind, in a sense. And so you're actually seeing, even from different demographics, from male to female to young to older.
Yeah, I mean, even on the union side, that's occurring.
And it's a good thing. It really is. Like I said, I have some real superstars that are female, and then I had a couple of superstars that were the typical male, but they were older. They were unconventional students.
Returning students, yeah.
Yeah, they came back and they used their field knowledge to incorporate into the more educational side of things, and they were phenomenal because they had both skill sets.
Are you sort of recruiting people into the program, or
we have to?
And so, how do you change your tactics in recruiting people to sort of reach out to different demographics?
Yeah, when you go into a school or you're talking to the younger generations about going to school and getting into the CM program, you're blind. Everyone's a candidate.
Yeah.
Because everybody can do it. There isn't just because you're male or you're female or you're freshly coming out of high school or you've been in the workforce for 5 years.
You can't.
It doesn't hold you back. Yeah. It doesn't hold you back. Everybody has the capability to do this, and it doesn't matter what your demographic is. And I find that out even more so. I mean, it still really is one-sided. It's usually the younger males in the construction management program, but we're seeing more and more. But when we cast our net, we're casting it over everybody and encouraging everybody. And I have worked with some project managers for some general contractors that they were phenomenal, and they were both female students that came out of Boise State in the project management program.
Oh, you did
program.
This down in Boise as well as up here?
Yeah, and they are phenomenal employees, very sharp, forward thinkers, and if they didn't cast a net broad down there, they wouldn't have got these employees. And it's getting more and more balanced, but it's still a long ways away from being fair.
So you recruit at high schools? Or?
Actually, in the area, Associated General Contractors really does the recruiting, not so much the college.
Okay.
And they are reaching out from fun things at elementary to middle school to high school. I mean, you're reaching at all because, you know, when you're a little kid in elementary, you're going to be a firefighter or a doctor or a, you know, or a football player. But there are a lot of fun things that construction has. I mean, look at the equipment that we have. that is just full-size Tonka toys.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And if you, nobody at fourth grade, nobody at eighth grade, most people at senior and high school don't know exactly what they're going to do in life. But if you throw these things out in front of them a few times, it gives them another set of options.
Well, if there are people that listen to this that are interested in going into construction management, what should their next step be? Where can they find information?
Definitely when you get into high school is you really need to be in touch with your counselor and you need to bring up construction. There are avenues out there that will help. There's engineering courses, there's management style courses and stuff now that are offered.
There's an entire degree, right?
Yeah. And now you go into college and it's specific into the construction side of things. And UAA up here, University of Anchorage, Alaska, has a very solid construction management program.
Yeah, scholarships available just that. Yeah,
absolutely. And they are a quality school. And we find that out through standardized testing and a competition that we go to every year.
Yeah, let's talk about that competition since you brought it up. Why don't you explain
about that? So every year UAA builds a couple of teams that goes down to Reno, Nevada, which is the region 6 and 7. There's a few more competitions around the United States, and it's once a year. And the kids go down there, and they compete in various competitions, and they're all construction management students. And we're talking schools from Arizona State to UCLA to Nevada to Colorado State. I mean, we're talking some big schools. And they send their construction management kids down there. We send our construction management kids down there. And we compete. In the past 10 years that we've competed, we have brought home a lot of hardware.
Yeah.
And we're not a large program. There's, you know, we'll have a pool of 20 kids to compile a 12-man team. And there's some schools down there that take 6 to 8 teams, and they're the top of their class. And there's a lot of them that don't get to go. And we're competing head-to-head with these guys, and we're doing well.
Yeah, I think you've just outlined the big advantage to being in Alaska in any particular way. Like, there's just so much more opportunity up here because our population is so small, our state's mm-hmm. so big, not just in college, not just in the workforce, you know, like this is one of the only places where if you show up to work on time and work hard, you're pretty much going to be able to make a living, you know, like there, yep. there are places where that is not guaranteed, you know.
No. And so we go down to the Associated Schools of Construction and you go in a different category. We send a civil team and a commercial team down, and on the civil side, they're basically handed a thumb drive with a bunch of documents on it, and they say, okay, you have 14 hours to put together an estimate, a critical path method schedule, CPM schedule, a risk analysis, some work plans, and whatever other deliverables that they are requiring, and they hand you a scoring sheet. And it's of a project that Kiewit puts that on, and it's a project that they have done in the past. This last year, it was a bridge that they did in Hawaii. So my kids are thrown this project. They have 14 hours to put these deliverables together, and they are unable to use the internet, to talk to me, mm-hmm. to have any outside resources. Then they turn it in. So they get this at 6 o'clock in the morning, and at 8 p.m. they have to turn in their bid.
And, can I just ask you real quick? You've bid many projects.
Uh-huh.
That time frame, like I know you receive plans well in advance of 14 yeah. hours, but that time frame of when you're working your hardest on it, is that pretty realistic? Is it like
this puts these guys under the gun.
Yeah.
It really does. And I would say, yeah, if I was working on an estimate, I would put 14 hours solid into it. But that's just the estimate. These guys are putting together the risk plan, the schedule, a full schedule, and so forth. But they throw them curveballs, just like in the real world. They'll allow RFIs. You're missing some details on the plans. They wait for the kids to ask, hey.
And an RFI, so everybody knows, is a request for information.
Yeah, and then they will respond. Yeah. And so it really is a challenge for these kids. And I've done a lot of estimates. So I would, yes, if I was able to do the challenge now, I could excel at it. But at their experience level, Oh my gosh.
And they're working in a team, like,
and it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it's collaborative.
Then throughout the night, they have to put together a presentation because they're going to present on it the next day. So they literally, from 6 in the morning till the next 6 in the morning, get zero sleep. Then their name gets drawn out of a hat on when they're going to present. And it may be at 9 in the morning. It may be 2 o'clock that following afternoon. During that time, they're still unable to talk to anybody, get any information. And they've got to then have a 20-minute presentation and then a 10-minute Q&A with the
person that actually did the job.
And the people scoring them.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, just watching all the kids in the schools, because I get to watch all the presentations, because I go down as the coach, mm-hmm. and I help them through the year prepare for this. And then I go down, and I get to watch. And the level of talent that's there from all these schools is amazing. And I've never seen the project either. So the whole time I'm down there, from the very first presentation, I'm like, oh, it's a bridge in Hawaii. And then I start seeing these different schools present, and I'm like, well, that was a great idea.
Yeah.
Even stuff that I feel that I have a lot of experience going, wow, I wouldn't have thought of that.
That's going to be,
yeah. And then the commercial side's a little different because they are already awarded the project, but they're selling themselves to upper management on why they should be chosen to run the project.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still doing the schedule, risk analysis, site layout plans, work plans, like how we can do this and how we can do it safely, how we can do it cost effective. They get challenges too, and they're really basically selling themselves to Mortensen, who puts that on, and they're a legit big time player of a general contractor. And these kids are saying, this is the project that you have, and this is why. The Bagula Ice Arena at Penn State was their problem this year. So, of course, I was smiling because I had a couple of hockey players on my commercial team down there, and they're like, we've actually been there. But the challenge is, well, yeah, you've been on the inside, but how would you build the thing? And how would you schedule it out? Where would you put your staging yard? Where would you divert people? And they put this challenge together in the same time frame. They basically have, 24 hours to deliver all this information and then sell themselves. Well, the really neat thing down there is there's a job fair afterwards, and there are hundreds of players in the construction industry. And I will tell you, our kids that go down and compete from Alaska are very sought after. They're fought for.
Yeah.
What's really neat for me is I ran into a lot of general contractors from the Boise Valley that I had personally did work for as a sub. And they're coming up to me saying, hey, that person there, I want the resume. Really
cool. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you can have the resume, but we're going to keep them here in Alaska.
Yeah.
Because
that's
I have
exactly
my
eyes.
Yeah.
When you
yeah.
say them, like, oh, yeah. We want to keep that talent around
yeah.
here.
But I will tell you, the knowledge base and the ability that our construction management students get up here with their internships, that there's a lot of people that are companies that belong to the advisory board that are competitors of mine, that are fellow industry leaders. And we really come together at the school to try to promote these kids and to get them hired within the state of Alaska. And we put down the, oh, well, you beat me on this bid last week. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
We drop that aside. It's about our students and keeping them here in our workforce with our resources.
Was that put together because industry saw there's a need for us to attract young people in our state to this? I mean, were we lacking that and that was why we put it together? Or was it put in place and we just saw the value of it?
So not being here from the beginning of it, by what I've heard, yes. And there were a lot of people that have come before me that put in a lot of work to get them where they're at.
Yeah.
And the whole is, how do we develop our local talent here? How do we provide them what they need so they don't have to go out of state to get it? And then how do we keep them here? And I think the faculty at UAA and the advisory board, which comprises of the faculty and industry leaders here, have done a phenomenal job with that message. Hey, we want to give you the help you need. We want to train you. We want to give you the tools to be successful in life in this industry, but we also kind of want to keep you around.
Yeah.
And they gained so much knowledge up here in Alaska with our shortened construction season and the heightened importance of that, that it is a really good quality that you might not get from other places, because they have longer working periods. They don't have extreme conditions. In the lower 48, you're not barging
material
your stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're 6 weeks out because you're having to order something up from the lower 48, and you're out in a village.
Yeah.
Those are some qualities that you can only get here.
Yeah. So for kids coming into the program, what advice do you have for them? Like if they're incoming freshmen into UAA for the construction management, or...
I would say we're there to help. The faculty's there to help. But they need to also get out of their shell and reach out. Get an internship. Take advantage of those internships. Ask the questions. Be willing to do anything and learn. And through industry internships and the education they'll get in the CM program at UAA, they will have jobs. They will come out. Now, as I tell all of them, there is a level of effort they have to put in. But there is also a phenomenal support group up here.
What about for kids that have graduated that are now entering the, you know, their working life? What's something that you think maybe you wished they knew, you know, having now dealt with a few of them coming out of UAA and now working?
So that's one of the goals at our advisory board meetings is we talk about, we want the leaders on the advisory board, we're hiring these students and we're finding out where their strong points are and where their weak points are. And we relay that information back to the faculty, and the faculty addresses that. They've actually just, in the last few years, I've seen them take classes and emphasize less on certain things and more on other things because it was industry driven.
What kind of, like what sort of things?
For a lot of technical programs, say you have scheduling programs. You know, your basic one is Microsoft Project. And then you have Primavera or P6, which is a very complex scheduling system. Well, pretty much the industry standard in contracts are written that you have to have a critical path method schedule, a CPM schedule. And the college has realized that as the industry saying, hey, we would love these college kids to be able to come out with the backbone and basis to know how to build in this program. Not just build a schedule, but build it in this program. So they said, okay, well, they reached out. They got licenses through the college to do this and on their computers. And now in their scheduling class, they're blocking out time to really concentrate on this specific program. That's just one example. Yeah. Or we're saying, as an industry, we want to say, you guys teach them. Look at it as a pyramid. You guys teach them the base and let us cap out the pyramid the way we want them to. Mm-hmm. We still want them not knowing everything because we want to mold them into our company. But we definitely want them to have the base behind it. So we definitely talk to the faculty about, the faculty shares, here's how we're testing. Here's how our program's going. And then they ask us questions of, when you hire these interns or when you hire them out of college, what are you seeing that they are good at? What are you seeing what their holes are? And they listen. And the CM program has certain requirements that they have to do to be accredited. But then they have time to tweak those and morph those. And we actually just had a really good meeting at the beginning of this year with the CM students. They actually have their own club, the CM club, and they came back to us as a group and said, hey, is there any way we could get some additional classes in these areas? And the advisory board looked back and said, absolutely. We didn't know you were interested in those. So the students would say, yeah, we felt that we learned more in this, in that when we went into our internships, we were doing this. So is there any way we could be more educated in these areas? And we're always listening to them.
I love the idea of industry going back to the university and saying, you know, we'd love to see the kids that graduate know these specific things. I work with a lot of kids. I work mostly with UAF because that's where I graduated from. And I went back there last year for some presentations to watch, and they were all done on, you know, they were all done, and I do presentations, but I was blown away by how much better theirs were. Yeah. And then also, I'm pretty good with Excel. I was amazed at how much better these kids were at it. And it occurred to me that once you leave the university or school, I guess in general, your knowledge level with the technology now is capped. Mm-hmm. You know, now you're just using the technology to do what you need it to do. And once it's doing that, you're not getting any better. And it's always evolving. And it kind of takes seeing younger people using it for you to go, oh, I really got to kind of step up my game. So it must be nice when you're bringing them now into your work and they're able to sort of use that and show everyone else all the advantages you have with that.
A great example is there's a program out there called Bluebeam. And you can do quantity takeoffs with it. And I know how to use Bluebeam. And I use it for what I need out of it. And there was a young gentleman that was showing the other students on our competition teams some features on Bluebeam. And I was sitting in the background going, I didn't know that. What? We could do that. So he was teaching me this program that I have used for 10 years. Yeah. And I'm going, where in the heck did you get that? That's amazing. And then, so I had to spend less time teaching the kids the technology and more time teaching them the real world experience.
Yeah, the application of
it. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that the CM program at UAA does is they want industry help because they understand that we're able to bring real world experience to these kids that you can't simulate in a classroom. And that knowledge that I've tried this 16 different ways and these are the outcomes. Now, with the knowledge you're getting from school, apply it to this and you'll be able to eliminate it down to three different choices in the future when you run into the same problem.
Yeah, and the flip side of that coin is like, once you've done something a bunch of times, you tend to always channel your energy towards the way you've been successful. And those kids, having not done any of it, have a real fresh perspective. So like when you're talking about that bridge and you say, oh, that's a real innovative way to do that, that comes from not being burdened by experience and success. Like You can be innovative.
What was neat about one of the, and that the team that I was talking about ended up winning first place, and they did a 3D model of how they were going to do it, and I was like, I could see it on the presentation rather than just trying to close my eyes and envision it. They had it in a 3D model, and I'm like, wow, we didn't have that technology when I was back in school. It was like, you know, two-dimensional, everything was. Mm-hmm. Now these three-dimensional models, and they're flipping through these sheets on a PowerPoint presentation, and I'm going, wow, how did you do that? And you know what? If you're able to take that now to a client and say, hey, this is how we're going to do your project and see this, they're like, it just blows me away. And that's one of the things that the CM program concentrates really hard on is they have to stay on the cutting edge of things. They have to keep up with what everybody else is doing, and it's a great place for the kids to get that.
Yeah, and I've dealt with a lot of the kids here at AGC. Like, they come to the golf tournament, or they come to the convention and stuff, and it's fantastic to have them around because you're so accustomed to talking to someone who's 36 or 42 mm-hmm. or whatever. It's mm-hmm. just fantastic to talk to a 23-year-old who now brings sort of enthusiasm back into mm-hmm. the conversation, because the rest of us are just sort of, you know, plodding through what we've done over and over again.
So one of the neat things is I hope that I'm passing down some pretty good knowledge to these kids in the time frame that I get to work with them. But then we go down to the competition, and I just sit back and watch the talent. And then I'm more of the moral support in yeah. that, because I have a lot of the ups and downs of life experience that they might not have, but the knowledge that they spit out in as far as the technical side, I'm blown away with. And then I give them that backside of, hey, I've been there, I've been knocked down. Put a smile on your face, get right back in there. And the way these kids can rebound, we had some pretty special students that are coming out of the CM program here in the next year.
How many do you graduate a year generally?
I think there's around 20.
Wow.
Yep. And I think it's varied from anywhere from 12 to 25.
Yeah.
And that's pretty small compared to, you know, we compete against University of Washington, and you know, yeah. they have, you know, 50 kids per year. You yeah. know, so they've got a couple hundred students in that program, and like I said, we're toe to toe with them.
So, if industry is listening to this and they want to get involved or interact with those students, what are some of the ways that they can do that?
They need to get in touch with. Right now, it's Joel Condon. He is the head of the construction management program, and he is a very forward thinker when it comes to involving industry in that, because he fully understands
that. Where does he work?
At UAA.
Oh, okay.
He's a faculty director of the construction management program, and he understands the importance of bringing in industry and education, and then getting these kids in the workforce before they graduate. They're required to have an internship before they can graduate from the CM program. But he's aware, too, that these people that belong to the advisory board, we're the ones that we really need to be hiring these kids and helping them. And I would say the faculty right now is very willing that if any industry wanted to contact UAA and say, hey, I want to be a part of this, that they're more than invited. And they come to advisory board meeting, they listen, they are able to share their knowledge, and the board will, if they're dedicated and they want to be involved, the board will bring them on. And it's a great thing. And there are definitely some industry leaders out there that don't belong that I think the kids would greatly appreciate their knowledge.
Yeah.
And I see it, and some of them are definitely my competitors. And I'm like, they bring a whole nother flavor to the table. And for these kids to excel and be the top, they need all that different ideas. And like I said, if anybody wants to get involved, they need to get a hold of UAA in the construction management program, the technical college, and say, hey, this is what I do. This is who I am. I'd really love to get involved. Or they need to reach out to some of the other industry leaders as far as their competitors and ask, hey, do you belong?
They're already involved, yeah.
Like, our goal, too, is industry leaders, we want to invite people. I run into people at the AGC events and stuff that are other industry leaders, and I talk about this all the time. And I try to encourage them, a lot of them have kids. A lot of them have kids coming up. I'm mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
get them into the program, get involved. So the door is always open, and they either need to channel it through, I mean, AGC, Lauren's a great contact.
Yeah.
As far as she deals directly with the CM program and the student chapter, and she can always, hey, give this person a call. If you want some more information, talk to this person. I'd take time, any time, to talk to somebody about what they're doing over there at the college and how rewarding it is to be involved and watch these students evolve. I got to quit saying kids, because there are a lot of unconventional students,
yeah.
And I'm getting up there in age, but anyhow, they're phenomenal students, and it's a phenomenal program over there.
Yeah, and I would say just generally, like, if people want information, they can always contact AGC and find someone that'll point them in the right direction.
I will say that's something that the students want and the faculty want is you've got to have partnerships between the industry and the industry affiliates. And AGC is a great connection because you guys have the industry side and the college side, and you can make those connections. So like I said, there's kind of three different avenues, and that's one of them.
Well, thanks for talking with us.
Right on.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.